Coming up on KUCB News, voters will decide if sales tax in Unalaska will go up, and Unalaska students will not be required to wear masks when they return to school next Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. Utility rates in Unalaska are going up. One way to keep them down? Raise taxes. That's the idea behind a proposed increase in the city's sales tax. Unalaska's City Council approved a resolution at last night's meeting that will put a sales tax increase on the ballot for October's municipal election. The proposition would raise the sales tax from 3% to 4.5%. The revenue from that increase would go towards offsetting rising utility costs. Sherry Coleman is one of the six council members present at last night's council meeting. She said rates have gone up because the city isn't subsidizing wastewater anymore and because the governor's office emptied funds for the power cost equalization program.
So what we have been seeing is an artificial decrease in our utilities, actually. Now we get to see what it really is.
City officials say generating revenue through a sales tax will spread the burden to non-residents who spend time in Unalaska for work. Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson noted that around 40% of the city's sales tax revenue comes from marine fuel sales.
Those are folks that that come up here and fish, utilize our infrastructure, and then they leave, and they leave with healthy paychecks out of state. So it's an extreme blow to our to any economy when an economy cannot hold on to some of the money.
Robinson warned that utilities will continue to rise because the city has more infrastructure and utility needs coming down the pike.
In the very near future, we are going to be faced with putting secondary sewer treatment in place of what we have now. And that's going to be another blow, and it's going to affect the taxpayers directly, you know, in utility bills.
Voters will decide on the tax raise in Unalaska's municipal election on October 5th. When school starts next week in Unalaska, students won't be required to wear masks. That's if community cases of COVID-19 remain low in Unalaska before then. On Monday, the Unalaska City School Board finalized a COVID plan for the upcoming school year. The plan recommends students wear masks at all times. It also states that students would only be required to wear masks if the administration and local health officials determine that the virus poses a direct threat to the school district. Monday's decision was part of a longer discussion that began last week when the board met to hear public comment and discuss the district's draft plan. Several Unalaskans showed up in person to provide testimony specifically against mask wearing. Charity Kitsuk teaches at the elementary school and is also a parent to kids in the district. She says having to wear masks in school has been difficult, especially working as a special education teacher.
We have small children who have developmental issues that they need to see our facial expressions. They need to see their peers. All of our little kids need to see the faces of the people around them for developmental reasons to socialize with others, but then also.
Along with a few other parents, Kitsuk said she doesn't believe the kids are at risk of the virus.
But they are at risk from learning, social, emotional, if they're required to wear the mask for any longer. I think it would be detrimental to the children. And so I hope that this board will take that into advisement and not require them.
Many parents also spoke in favor of eliminating masks because the local case count remains low and vaccination is higher on the island than many other areas in the state. But Dr. Megan Sarnecki with the Aluluk Family and Health Services Clinic said in last week's meeting that statewide case counts can still play a major role in the health care Unalaskans receive.
We had a patient last week that we tried to medevac in, and there was Providence Hospital was on divert because they were too full. We were able to get them into Alaska Regional. But that's one of the things that we do worry about out here. The whole what's happening in Anchorage and the rest of the state affects us greatly.
The district's mitigation plan defines three transmission levels, low, medium, and high. Those don't correspond directly to the city's risk levels. Instead, they reflect the number of current active cases of community spread. Administrators will also work with the local emergency operations center to decide when they should move up or down levels and if students should wear masks. The high transmission level, where widespread community exposure threatens the district's safety, is the only level where masks will be mandated without extra consultation from health officials. School may also be moved to hybrid or home-based learning, depending on the administration's evaluation of the situation. Despite the transmission level, masks will be required on school buses at all times. While the majority of public comment centered on mask wearing, board and administration discussion was more focused on choosing clear language and criteria to define each transmission level in the mitigation plan. Ultimately, the school board voted to include language that would allow for administrators to make flexible decisions based on the current local situation. Board President Carlos Tayag says he'd like to see some consistency with the city's risk levels, but he says the flexibility allows administration to make choices that are appropriate for what is happening in the schools.
It also takes into consideration local health authorities and their expertise and kind of a partnership with the City of Unalaska EOC so that things are very consistent throughout the city.
Unalaska students will return to their classrooms next Wednesday. The Unalaska School Board will also meet next week and will appoint a new member to the board. The city of St. Paul is in hunker down mode after an individual traveling to the island tested positive for COVID-19. St. Paul City Manager Philip Zavadil says the city council voted unanimously to ask residents to stay at home as much as possible.
And hunker down, non-essential businesses are closed. People are working from home. Essential businesses are open, but their COVID protocols are in place. So the majority of the city is open. Everybody's kind of keeping separate.
Zavadil says the person who tested positive was vaccinated, making this a breakthrough case. They were tested because the city reinstated travel testing last month. But because the island resident was vaccinated, they didn't have to quarantine after arriving in St. Paul. Now, there are more than 40 close contacts in St. Paul who have been identified and asked to isolate. Despite intentions to keep essential services open, on an island of fewer than 400 people, the number of those in quarantine means a significant portion of the community's services have been affected.
Due to the close contacts, we have a lack of staff at the store. We have one post office worker, and they were close contacts, so they're in quarantine.
Zavadil says the island's Unified Command is meeting today to discuss possible testing options to get some of those essential workers, who are also close contacts, back to work. According to Zavadil, the island has a vaccination rate of about 88% for eligible residents. But he says about 60 people are under age 12 and can't yet receive a vaccine. School for St. Paul students was scheduled to start this week. In order to limit the spread of the virus, Zavadil says they'll wait another week or two, depending on testing, to open back up for the new academic year.
Part of the reason for that is there's several close contacts that are kids, so we just didn't want to take that chance.
Zavadil says they don't yet know if this is a case of the Delta variant. The Bering Sea community's hunker down is currently set to expire on August 24th. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill yesterday, with both Alaska senators voting yes. Senator Lisa Murkowski calls the bill's passage historic.
Something that we have talked about doing for years, that we haven't seen done in decades, and we did it with an extraordinarily strong bipartisan support after months of working and negotiating. That is good news.
The bill has billions of dollars for Alaska's ferry system to improve rural sanitation and extend broadband internet, along with money for the nation's highways, bridges, and electrical grid. Some conservatives complain that Murkowski and the other 18 GOP senators who voted for it delivered a victory to President Biden. Murkowski says the legislation is good for Alaska and the country.
It's incredible to me to think that we would want to deny the American people a win just because we don't happen to like our current president and his politics.
The bill goes next to the House. The Democratic-led Senate moved on to take up a much larger infrastructure package, $3.5 trillion for climate programs, childcare, education, and other social spending. Murkowski opposes that bill, saying it's a Democratic wish list compiled in a partisan process. It is expected to pass with no Republican votes. Camp Adgayuh is an annual camp that teaches kids in Unalaska about Unangan values, language, and art. While the program was canceled last year due to the coronavirus pandemic, this summer, kids return to the Unalaska Community Center to continue local traditions.
Let's spray your dog if you have one. If they swallow a worm, you can do this. But it's okay for birds to eat worms. And chickens. No!
Fletcher Bagley is headed into second grade this year. He holds a small glass vial in the air filled with a dark green liquid and explains that it holds wormwood oil. He grabs another small jar with an illegible but colorful label and excitedly says that it's going to be the coolest one.
Yeah, we're going to turn it into Angelica sap, and I think that we get to eat it.
Bagley's right about almost everything he says. He does fill the small jar with a salve made from the local plant Angelica. And wormwood is an herbal remedy for dogs with worms. But he doesn't eat any of those items. Learning what is edible and what isn't is part of the curriculum for Bagley and about 15 kids in first through third grade that attended Unalaska's Camp Ugdayuh, or Camp A, late last month. It's a culture camp put on through the island's Parks Department, the Kowalungan Tribe of Unalaska, and a group of volunteers. The students learn how to harvest local plants and use them as medicine for things like burns from puchki, known in other parts of Alaska as cow parsnip, or as soothing lip balms. They also make paper versions of Unangach bentwood hats and learn about the values and language of the local Unangach who have lived on the island for thousands of years. Sharon Savarni Livingston helped start the class about 10 years ago with longtime Unalaska resident Harriet Barakoff. The camp culminates in a play at the end of the week. This year, Savarni Livingston says they're going to act out a story about the moon's sister, who descends to the villages on the earth and has a son.
Time comes, and so she takes them on a journey finally, and she takes them through the constellations just as they are today. They had a different name for them, of course. And eventually they get to the moon's house, and she dies on the trip because she got very old. And of course the moon was getting old too, and so his nephew took his place. So that's
the story.
Savarni Livingston says this year was also unique because she had the help of local teen Riley Lakanoff, who attended the camp when she was in elementary school.
And this year she stepped up quite a bit because I needed an Unangan helper who wasn't just, you know, a volunteer. I needed her to be able to, you know, take on certain aspects of the project and run with them. She's doing the value.
This year, Lakanoff led the Unangam to new language and Unangan values sections.
Ugegvada, that one means share. Tutuba is listen. Chadalagachtin is don't steal. And Chin Ugutada is be happy.
Savarni Livingston says she's excited to see Lakanoff returning to the camp as a mentor.
That's the whole purpose, you know, of trying to preserve culture and save culture is making sure that you always pass on your knowledge to somebody else so they can continue to pass it on.
And that's for the young ones, Savarni Livingston says part of that preservation work involves breaking down some of the larger and more challenging concepts, values, or practices. Even, she says, in the artwork.
You know, they're looking at the design posters and they're going, oh, we can't do that stuff. And I go, they're just, you know, you just got to break them down to little pieces. You break it down, it's, you know, it's a line, it's a circle, it's a dot, you know, and it's repetitive. It just goes on and on.
Circle, line, dot. Circle, line, dot. Circle, line, dot. Yeah, we're going to turn that into a thing.
The Cowalungan Tribe's Craft Night has been rescheduled for tomorrow night, Thursday, August 12th. Patty Lekanoff-Gregory will lead a bentwood hat-making class, or participants can still come and work on their own crafts as well. Availability for bentwood hat-making is limited, and there are only a few seats left. Craft Night takes place at the Cowalungan Tribal offices tomorrow at 6 p.m. You can reserve your spot by calling the office at 907-581-2920. That number again is 907-581-2920. 2920. Unalaska's Parks Department is hosting its annual Heart of the Aleutians Festival this weekend at Town Park in downtown Unalaska. The event begins at noon on Saturday, August 14th, and ends at 7 o'clock in the evening. There will be two eating contests, a lip sync contest, live music, vendors, and more. For more information, visit our community calendar or the PCR's Facebook page. Saturday, August 14th is also the deadline to submit public comment for the environmental assessment of the AU Aleutians Fiber Project. The assessment describes the anticipated environmental effects of the project. To find the full assessment or to get more information, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. Unalaskans gathered in Pyramid Valley last weekend for this year's Tundra Golf Classic. Nearly 20 teams teed off in hopes of taking home the gold. This year, judges named North Pacific Fuel as the winner with a score of 51. They were trailed closely by Harbor Welding, who recorded a score of 58, and Alpha & Company came in third with 60. The winning teams will receive Optumera Wi-Fi cards. The annual Tundra Golf Classic is a fundraiser for KUCB, and the event brought in more than $11,000 this year. Thank you to all of the sponsors, and a big thanks to Optumera Wi-Fi, who donated thousands of dollars of Wi-Fi for prizes. And thanks to Unalashka Corporation for use of their land in Pyramid Valley. Head to the KUCB Facebook page to find photos of the event. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.